Welcome back to Go Forth and Nerd. This is Jesse Bray, also known as Mr. Bray, and I'm your resident nerd. And today I have my good buddy Kevin Blue on again.
Yeah, I'm back, people, and I'm here to stay. How y'all doing? How you doing, man?
I'm. You know what? Actually, I'm doing good, but I have some scary news to share.
Oh, no, I don't like scary news. Halloween is too close for scary news, okay. Man. What you got?
It was lunch scary, so... lunch scary. So my wife and I were like, I don't know, you ever once in a while you get a craving for like Jack in the Box tacos?
Yes, okay, delicious.
Two is, you know, about right. That's about your, that's honestly the, not healthy, but the limit that most humans have.
Exactly.
I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go with four. I'm pretty hungry. You know, I didn't eat breakfast. I think I can go with four. So, fair warning.
Oh, no.
I'm on borrowed time.
Oh my god.
I mean, I haven't had any problems yet, but I swear, I feel that there's this ominous gloom going on. Like, I had four Jack in the Box tacos, and I'm 35. If I was 17, I might be going to the doctors today.
Yeah, dude, it is not going to be a good day for your freaking household, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, knock on wood, but hey, everyone gets to know, we all make mistakes. For Jack the Box tacos, I think that was a mistake. My stomach is saying some weird things, but...
But wait, how were your taste buds, though? How did your taste buds feel when you were eating it?
Just delicious.
Yes, delicious. So exquisite.
So good. Oh, the Jack in the Box taco is so delicious.
Delicious. Nah, dude. I did the same deal with like White Castle. And I to this day cannot, dude, me and my boy, we were like, yo, let's go get the Crave case.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Never had the Crave case before. Dude, we finished that whole Crave case one sitting with French fries. We felt so good. And then the next day, I'm like, I don't feel good. Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Not a good choice. But.
Well, when you eat certain junk food, you swear, like, did I eat it or did I just, like, did I rub it on my skin? Because it does not feel, it's like, you're coming down, you know, like the shakes.
It's all over your pores. You're like, oh, man. But it tastes so good, though.
It does. It
what
does.
What do they put on
it? It does. Now, I was going to say, like, I mean, we all have our junk food is my vice. You know, I eat junk food. And, does your wife eat junk food as well? Are you guys both kind of junk food addicts every once in a while?
She eats junk food, but she doesn't like to.
Oh, okay.
So junk food is usually like a convenience. You know, I can run down to McDonald's right now, grab some French fries, and I'll be good.
Yeah.
But you don't want to.
Well.
It's not a good idea. Well, at the time, right, at the time I want to.
Yeah.
At the time, I really want that double cheeseburger with those delicious French fries. So good. But then afterwards, it's like, nah, I'm not too happy about that decision.
Yeah.
I got stomach pain.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, nah, this wasn't healthy.
Uh-huh. Totally.
You say to yourself that you're going to go on a diet, and then you're never going to go on the diet.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe not too long afterwards, you're having a plea with God, like, you're bargaining, man, and just let me get this on the toilet. You're like, I swear, I'll never sin again. And it's like...
I swear, Lord Jesus. Nah, dude. But she cooks. She cooks a lot, though. She,
oh, that's awesome.
So we don't have to worry about it too often. And I'm doing like this whole new diet thing, and it's, oh God, it's taking away. Well, it's taking away the good stuff.
Here's the hard part, like diets and stuff like that. Because my family is like known for weird crash diets and going on stuff. And Katie's, they didn't do that stuff.
Wow.
But, like, the thing about these weird diets is that makes them hard is that there's something in your mind that you feel like you're being deprived, right? So
yeah.
It would be so much easier if it just what you ate wasn't bad for you. And, like, I would rather go, like, as weird as it sounds, I'd rather go to a hypnotist that actually worked. You know, be like, all right, you will now crave only healthy such and such and such. I'm like, great. Because, you know, it hit 2 o'clock in the morning because I've been doing these... We're doing some all-nighters for work and stuff. And,
right.
You know, Those whole food places aren't open 24 hours.
No, they're not.
And that's like 20, 30 minutes of working to go, you know, make something good. I know these are all excuses, but I'm a night owl. I really am a night owl. I think a lot of nerds are. I could be wrong about this, but I think gamers are. Gamer nerds are night owls.
I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there all night.
I'm like a cat, man. If I could be up all night, if I would probably do best at like swing shift, you know, or graveyard to swing. I've done a lot of that, but my wife, she works the normal, you know, normal human hours. So yeah. I can't be on my preferred schedule and have a wife. So
yes, this is true.
Oh yeah. So
I'm telling on you.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, just like, because we were talking about this before, you talked about getting up earlier or thinking that you should get up earlier. And, you know, when you're working late at night or when you're on, like, there's just something about it just because it's so quiet, you get in the zone, and it's great, man. I dig it. Yeah.
Man, if you get up early enough, usually when I'm up early, there's nobody awake.
Yeah.
It's just me. I get some me time. I can hang out, just relax. Even sometimes when it's late at night. When it's late at night, dude, I could be just have my own time to myself, relax. But dude, back onto that diet thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, not the food in general.
Food in general.
Check this out. I can eat a delicious double bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Right? I can eat that, right? But at the same time, I can't eat a delicious salad the same way I can eat a delicious burger.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, healthy foods aren't made as, like, I guess you could say wholesome, I feel like, as some of the things that are wildly popular, I guess, granted, you can have people who whip this stuff up and they'll make it like, oh man, I made you a veggie patty with this and then it works. Is delicious, but you're gonna pay some good money.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't go to the freaking health food store and get a freaking $5.99 deal.
You know what I mean? That's true. I mean, if you priced healthy food like you do junk food, I mean, no way you're getting like 12 salads for a buck, you know? Salads a lot more expensive than a hamburger. I mean, you get a hamburger for like a buck, and but you get a salad for like seven. And I agree with you. And the other thing is, you're talking about quick and convenient food. Like, for me, there's some stuff I can't eat. Like, I will eat junk food, but I can't eat pork anymore. There's an episode of the podcast called A Diet of a Nerdy Kid. And I talk about how I had IBS growing up. And, you know, like, I mean, I've had Montezuma's Revenge, like, when I lived in Mexico. Yeah, so
I don't know what that is.
Okay,
sounds crazy.
Okay, so let me take you on a little nerdy trail through history. So okay. I believe it was Cortez, Spanish dude, came in to the Americas, and he did some evil stuff. Okay, and of course, you know, the whole shebang, rape, pillage, that whole horrible thing when they took over, and they believed that that the gods were so upset with what he did that there was a label for this type of dysentery that people were getting called Montezuma. Their god Montezuma was acting out this revenge upon Cortez and his people, so they would crap themselves. It's like, but it was pretty awful.
I like this god. This guy,
the god of poo.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I'll get that later. So yeah.
No, you gotta poop. Oh my god, that's horrible.
Yeah, so I got that twice from this awesome taco stand. Oh, I mean, they were such good tacos. I said, forget it, I'm going back. I don't care. It's like, let's die. What a delicious way to die.
I don't care how this feels. Hey, listen, if it's that good, sometimes it just doesn't matter, dude. Yeah. Like, there are times where you can eat something and it's like, your brain knows. Your brain's telling you, like, yo, you're not gonna feel good after this, but it's okay. You just want the taste.
It's that
you just want. Yeah.
It's a little bit of pleasure, a lifetime of pain.
Yes. And now I'm officially thinking about God of War with the God Montezuma. That'll be awesome.
Crap towers. Well, that's what they say when you go to like to Mexico, Central and South America, when they say don't drink the water.
That particular
bugs that are in the water. And honestly, I mean, maybe now, but after a while, dude, after hitting Montezuma's Revenge twice and losing some weight, I could drink the water, had no problem, dude. I could drink out of a sludge puddle in Mexico. I don't know how we're talking about that exactly, but with tacos, you eat that sort of stuff. In the Diet of a Nerdy Kid, I explained how I have IBS and how that's sort of a counter, but I end up kind of going through this cleanse and kind of start eliminating things from my diet, and everyone's different, bro. Everyone has different things that their body needs, but my body doesn't dine on swine. Like, if I eat pork, I mean, I used to be a bacon addict, man. I mean, I wanted, like, a bacon tattoo. It was just like, yes. This is filled with bacon, you know? But if I eat it, man, it's I have almost like an allergic reaction to it. I will be in pain, feel sick and stuff like that. So it's not as bad as a greasy taco, but there are certain types of foods. Anyways, we say, but here's the thing about being a nerd, right? A lot of part of being a nerd is we get sort of quick food, right?
Yep.
Okay, so
Doritos.
Yeah, Doritos. I have a story about quick foods. Have you ever heard of Soylent?
Nah.
Okay. Are you familiar with the classic sci-fi movie Soylent Green?
I've heard of this.
Okay.
I've heard of this.
Charlton Heston? Okay.
Yes.
So Charlton Heston, it's made from people. Soylent is people.
Yeah, yes, so, yeah.
So there's this tech startup that decide to make this little soy beverage that they call Soylent. And it's kind of a flavorless gray slushy, and like sort of like our smoothie. It doesn't really taste good, but it is a meal in a bottle, and they call they call it Soylent. And so, you know, this was sometime I think last year where my wife was like, "Hey, let's just try it out," you know, because you can get sort of just because she wasn't making breakfast and she was working out and she needed something to eat.
Right.
And we're like, all right, let's give it a go. Let's try it out. And, you know, the thing about this stuff, it's soy. So, like, if it becomes, like, your main meal source, you're going to feel kind of icky. Like, you're going to feel icky. But it does fill you up. It's kind of like baby formula for humans, for adults and stuff like that. It's a weird thing that exists, right? But only nerds would have thought of that idea, right?
That is true. Let me tell you about this one.
Yeah.
I got one even crazier for you.
Yeah.
They have this new thing, okay, and I read this a while ago, so I don't know how the development of it has been so far.
Yeah.
Where, okay, everybody poops.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. Yeah. Everybody poops, right? But these scientists have found a way to make poop a food.
What?
Now, I know. I know, it sounds crazy.
What?
Let me continue. Okay, to make it sound better, right? Some people like steak, right? Well, this particular thing turns your feces or poop into an edible steak. This is a real thing.
Poo steak.
This is a very real thing. I think they were trying to make it for astronauts for, like, you know, because they have to do their biz. It's the same thing with, like, their pee. You know, they're peeing and then
they
redo it and make it into water.
Yeah, they...
So...
Don't waste not.
Dude, when I saw this, I was like, poop steak? Are you kidding me? We have to go further than poop steak. There has to be something, like... Humans evolved to make poop steak. What is going on?
Oh, that's right. Just think about it. Oh, gosh. No. I
can't imagine eating that and just be like,
Is that the pinnacle of our achievement?
Dude, I don't. And do you like what? Do you have to eat your own? At this point, what if I'm eating like the other astronaut guys I'm with? Like, I don't know. Like, yo, I had yo.
I mean that. That is so gross. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, not that I'd want to, but if you had to, like, huff, you know, whiff urine, that sort of thing, I think psychologically, like, but it's mine. It's mine. It's like, but to survive, right? Which is, I know you're not supposed to do this, but poo? No, that's not food, man.
No, that's not food.
Eat you something else.
You ate it. You literally.
There's all ate it my body. That's what my body says. I don't want. Okay. That's the throwaway.
So I guess it. The feces is put into this thing, and it processes it, and it turns it into a steak, which is not like a steak, but like it makes it into like a patty sort of. It's bad. It sounds horrible.
Oh, it sounds horrible. And you know what? You know what? I would tell you this much. Even if they got it right, I'd still have problems with it. Who wants to taste test this? Like, oh, that tastes... Nope, still a little bit of poo in there. Like,
I
thought those guys that did the flavor samples for the little joke Harry Potter jelly beans had a gross job. You know what I'm talking about? Like with the earwax and burp and fart. And I was like, yuck, that sounds like a horrible job. I'm like, I'm going to go to work and want to throw up. No, that's just simulated flavor. This is Kevin, that is some brown gold there.
dude, all I'm saying is, if
don't flush that cash.
Yeah, literally. Wait, the process of this. What was the prototype like? How much trial and error did he have to go through to finally get the finished product?
I feel like the whole process, because here's the I just have to mind this. I got to get my hands dirty in this.
Go for it.
So here's the issue: when everyone goes to the bathroom, but everyone's pooped, but not everyone eats the same stuff. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So wait, before you do it, what if maybe sometimes, hey, I want this guy's steak because he just had a delicious turkey. But
I mean, like, because I'll say this because we're talking about poo. And if you have a queasy stomach for this, then hey, guys, I'm sorry. You're going to just turn it off. Skip this one. But here's the thing. You've worked with kids. I mean, I have nieces and nephews, and I am so quick with diapers. So, a little bit of backstory. When I was working in Mexico, I worked at this orphanage, and I mentioned that I was taking care of kids. The truth is, they weren't really kids. They were in their 30s, but they were, to me, I saw them as kids. And so, I could change a 30-year-old's diaper, like, in a couple minutes, no problem. So whenever someone comes to me with a baby with a dirty diaper, I'm like, no problem, dude. That's not a baby. Yeah, that is easy. Okay, anything under 80 pounds is like easy compared to what I've been working with. But everyone goes. But you know how your diet changes that, and some of us get pretty sick. And so, I don't know, man.
No, dude, I don't know. Well, you got to figure too. These guys in space, they're eating like heavy. Like calcium stuff and all this stuff. So you got to figure maybe there's some stuff that the body just doesn't break down. Maybe.
But how many times can you turn it to steak?
Probably. I mean, I wouldn't want to. I'd only want one. Maybe. I don't even know. I don't know if I can make this like a daily routine. Like, hey guys, like the astronauts are all sitting in the base. Hey, what does the commander have to tell today? I don't know. Hey guys, we got a new device in. It turns your poop into steak. We'll have food for days. It's like, have lots of food.
Well, who's the think about people's diet? I don't know. Dimitri over there, you eat a lot of potatoes. Let's go with yours.
Yes. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. When I read this, I was like, there. You can't go any further. You can't, like what else? Like, what else could you possibly do?
No. I think science is moving the wrong way. Yes. I think that's the wrong way. Because here's what I think is the way to go. Okay, plants, right? plants do photosynthesis, right? So they just
right.
lift out their leaves, take some of that sun, and turn it into food. Yeah. Figure that out, science. Okay.
There you go.
Figure that out.
Why can't I just absorb some sun? Let me get that. Let me get that.
Burp. You know, just like that. You're like, oh yeah. So
absorbing the sun. No, but dude.
Yes. That's what that's figure that out.
Crazy.
don't make me eat poo.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I feel like if they can turn feces into food, they can turn dirt into food. We could just be eating gravel, right?
Okay, but speaking of which, actually, I work at Amazon, so I see a lot of products, moving around. And today, yesterday I saw these things called emergency rations.
Okay.
But the emergency rations were, in a block, in a square.
Yeah, you cut block. A slice of it, yeah.
But dude, they were so hard, and they said ready to eat. I'm like, this is extremely hard. How do you eat it?
Okay, so we're talking some very dirty stuff here, but I kind of love talking about this. My family, my whole family with IBS. You'll talk about this stuff at the dinner table. That's just what people do. They talk about their stomach problems. But so I had a friend of mine. He was in the Navy. And a big part of the Navy, they eat those different types of rations. And I don't know if it's the case now, but back then, I would say people in the military don't always get the opportunity to have fresh food. Okay, this seems to be the my encounter, my experience. And so with these type of rations, the government rations, which I'm sure it's similar to what they do for the astronauts where they freeze dry stuff. So when this homeboy, when he would come home, he would use the restroom. And he would use the special downstairs restroom at the end of the house. Okay, and it was this old house that a bunch of us nerds, we all lived in. And we all knew when he went to the bathroom. Because it was so funky. Because it was like, what did you do, man? I need, you no, not a match, not a candle. Okay, like an armada of Febreze. Okay, just get in there and exchange that air. It's get it out. And so those rations, man, are not really good for your system. It's like
your body probably doesn't break it down.
Too much sulfur and sodium and
just to let everybody know, today's episode of Go Forth and Nerd is brought to you by poop.
Poop. Everybody poops. there's a lot about this with kids, and I'm with when you're potty training kids. A lot of kids get kind of the shame of going to potty and stuff like that. And it's weird when you get a complex about using the restroom. But you want to have a health, you know, if you don't, the whole adage goes, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't eat, you don't poop. If you don't poop, you die. I mean, that's right.
It's going down the line.
That's right. That's pooping things are living things. plain and simple. But you're right. There's, I don't know, you need to be comfortable having to some degree. Obviously, we're going a little more colorful than other people might be used to.
We're going to edible poop now.
My buddy Roberto was just joking about on Facebook how he felt guilty and had to confess that he farted in the elevator.
Oh, no.
That's the wrong kind of hot box.
That is worse. If somebody said that to me and they're next to me in the elevator and I smelled them at all, I am throwing fists. I will straight up do a freaking One Piece Luffy gum punch to this guy.
Oh gosh. Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? That is part of life. It is so part of life.
Yes, indeed.
I wanted to tie back in a bit because we were talking about manic sleep schedules and stuff like that. So what is one of your rituals when you're kind of staying up late? What is one of the reasons why you are up late? You know,
man, it's so much. It's either, right, okay, so for instance, music. Music is music, you can't fall. If you're focused on a project and it's music, I am stuck there. I can't stop until I get this particular sound out of my head.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because then you just, if you sign out and you leave, you lose that spark.
The groove, the session's over.
Session's over. Exactly. Yeah. So there's either that, or right now I'm playing Destiny 2 on my console.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, man, there's raids. And when there's raids, you're not turning off that computer or you're not turning off that system for a while.
So, yeah.
how it goes right now.
Are you I'm trying to think? So I haven't played Destiny. I've heard a lot of people like just love it. I'm not as on console games as much these days. Mostly retro games, and then what I can play on my laptop. But I mean, like when I go over to like my brother-in-law's or some other friends that have consoles, but I just don't have. I just kind of miss the console thing and more Steam and whatever's in the App Store or the retro stuff.
Right.
But when you play those games, you have a specific set in time. Kind of like you have like a everyone's going to do a raid at 3 a.m. or you know Eastern time. Okay, so
yeah, because it's like there's like a freaking like I have a clan that I just joined and. Every now and then they'll jump on and they'll say, hey, you know, we're going to do it this time. If you want to go in, jump in now. And so I'm like, oh, wait, let me turn off PlayStation. Yeah, turn off my PlayStation, kind of sign in. And then I'll be stuck there for maybe about 2 hours, 3 hours at a time. And then most of the time I'm getting on late anyway. That's if I'm playing games, you know what I mean? So
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know how it is. Like, I mean, your wife. So Courtney probably works a normal gig, right? Like a Monday through Friday gig, or
something. Oh, actually, yeah, she's just doing the events, man.
Cool.
Yeah, she's primarily events, using events. That's crazy.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought she had a normal like 9 to 5, but
she did actually. She was like, she did. She left. She said, I'm done. I'm out of here. I can't do this. I want to be my own boss. So I can't.
Well, that's cool. Well, but I was going to say, because like my wife, she has a normal Monday through Friday gig. And so a lot of the gaming stuff, you know, that guilty pleasure stuff, you know, when you're going to be playing games, you can't really do that when your wife wants to cuddle and watch TV. You got to wait till they go to bed. And so...
You know, it's like we're watching that movie tonight.
Maybe. they can kind of tell when you're a little less judgy about them wanting to go to bed early because you're like, sure, baby, go ahead. Here, let me rub your feet. You know, just put you in the movie, knock you out. So then I grab the laptop and just nerd it up. So, yeah. But I like being a little manic. I've discovered that when I get in a creative rut. This is something that just works for me. I don't know if it works for other people, but I get a little bit of a creative rut. And there's nothing like being up late at night and being a little bit tired, and even tired the next day, all of a sudden more creativity gets in there. Because it gets away from you. You're too tired to be anxious. You're too tired to be worried. You're too tired to think about other than the most abstract thing that just sort of pops into your head that's keeping you awake. And it's something, just my mind, just like, it's like a floodgate, like... just ideas popping. Yeah,
that's literally what it is too. It's even when you're doing music as well. It's like, oh, I'm tired. It's like, all right, I know I'm gonna be tired. I'm not really worried about going to bed because I'm going to go to bed eventually when I finish this. Yeah. So let me focus on this. Yeah. Almost. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
But I'm right there with you with that, man. And I think that's why I kind of do music late at night too.
Yeah, you get... It's a bit guilt-free, right? Because, I mean, for being married, you know, or even if you're just in someone's in a relationship, you want to spend your time with your partner. They're your best bud. So that is obviously, that's the first distraction. You'd rather be playing with them. But when they're in bed, you can kind of do the other stuff that you also enjoy without feeling like you're neglecting them. And so that's kind of like why I like that Night Owl stuff. And... Dude, I tell you, like, it's just, it unlocks so much creativity in me to be a little bit manic, you know, just a little bit like, so Friday night I did an all-nighter. I stayed up all night, worked on this this like album cover I'm working on, and then I did some other stuff, and I was, you know, I was up to like 6:30 a.m. and my wife's like, oh, are you just coming to bed? I'm like, yeah. So, but I mean, I slept for maybe 3-4 hours after that. Once I'm awake, I'm awake. And sometimes I stay up too much, or I'm not going to be able to go back to bed. But you know that the only problem with that is it throws you off the next night, right?
Yes.
So you can't. You're not quite catching.
You can't get up as early, or you can't
. So like, I went to bed about 1 a.m. and I'm like, all right, I'm forced myself, and I'm laying in bed. It took me like an hour to fall asleep. But I like being a little manic. The one thing that popped in my head was when I was trying to go to sleep was something my great-grandma told me. And my great-grandma used to say, when you're trying to fall asleep, and you're having trouble finding sleep, it's like being a little kid looking up at a light switch that you just can't quite turn off.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and that's all I imagine when I'm trying to fall asleep now is that I'm a little kid just trying to, just let me get the switch, just like trying to hop up to try to, does that make sense?
It does a little bit, dude, but that, yo, you better watch out, man. That's how you get into astral projection. You're gonna be jumping on that mountaintop, and I mean, you're gonna jump for that light, and then all of a sudden you're gonna be on top of a mountain, like, yo, what?
The Himalayas.
What's going? Yeah, what I'm going
on? Talking to Yoda and Splinter, and
you're gonna be fully in tune with the Force, man. You better chill over there,
dude. I'm going, woo, hey, Kevin. Hey,
like, wait. We're not doing a podcast. What's going on here? Oh my God.
You know,
you're gonna hover over my bed and say, "Oops, stay." Oops,
stick. Cody wakes up. What is that?
What is poop steak?
Oh, gosh. Oh my God. You know what? That's something I feel like. Okay, we're going back to that disgusting food. Here's the thing that bothers me the most about it is that they're calling it poop. Don't call it poop. Don't put the poop.
I don't know if they're calling it poop. It's just like feces, steak. What do you even call it?
Secondhand food.
That's actually a very good term for it.
Yeah, secondhand food. Yeah, you know, it's what they call it when they want to not throw away something but not quite recycle it. Upcycle, right? Upcycle food.
Oh my god!
Green food. Yeah, there's all these little marketing terms that someone will just throw at it to make it not sound like what it really is.
See, guys, you can't see our faces right now, but. But our faces are like, nah, this is gross. Just that process. Do you have to poop in a tube? Do I have to poop? What am I pooping in?
Okay.
Where's my pooping?
Okay, here's the biggest problem I have with this. Okay, now. All right, back to the, why do I have the problem with this poop stuff? Because everyone goes to the bathroom, right? So my wife and I were having this conversation about maybe 6 years ago, and somebody had mentioned to her, like, did you know that not everyone stands up to wipe? I'm like, what? I'm like...
No, wait, did you know? Not everyone wipes either. No, chill.
I was like, there's a whole ritual, like, no, that's you go to the bathroom, you stand up, you wipe, you flush. Yes. No, there's a whole camp of people that they still wipe when they're on the toilet. And they're still sitting down.
But if you do the, how do you get the?
How do you get in there?
I gotta try this new method.
How do you clean yourself? How do you do? That's dangerous.
You gotta like use your elbow.
I mean, are you leaning a little bit? I mean, what's going on here? So nonetheless, I would assume that these poo steak patients, whatever they call them, you know, the donators, they're donating.
Zoologists.
They're not wiping? I mean,
they would. I guess so.
I mean,
I would hope so.
I mean, because wait, what are we talking here? Not like they're gonna go, ew, gross tissue.
Yeah, right. They're practically eating each other's poop. Oh no, you mixed our poop together. It's gonna make a new flavor. I don't want, like.
Ew, oh, get that out of there.
Nah, dude. They're gonna have, like, a freaking. Mm-hmm. Poop burgers and. Thinking about all the different. I'm just thinking about all the normal products we have instead of poop now. I don't like this.
No, I don't like it at all. But see, I always think about science whenever we get somewhere far, just like when we got somewhere with food, like real food, not poop food. When someone's like, all right, so Tom went out there and he ate some of those berries and he died of diarrhea. So we're going to know not to eat the diarrhea berries. We're not, yes. That so-and-so, you know, Kim went over there and she ate some of that red stuff on that tree and she didn't seem to die right away. So like, that's how we figured that stuff out. So right. With science, we're going to have people that are going to be testing this stuff out.
Yeah.
Just like I don't want to be the guy who first tests out the teleporter, right?
Oh, yeah, he's going to come out like all inside out.
Inside out.
Gooey. Gooey. He's still alive, but he's just...
yeah, he's like someone puts you in a microwave. Yuck. Yeah, I don't want to be the first. I mean, there's some stuff that's cool to be a beta tester.
Yes.
Software, computers. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, all right, just kind of on the other element of testing things out. Google came out with this, I think about a year or so ago, maybe a little longer, with this contact lens that tests your blood sugars
for
diabetics. Have you heard about this?
Wow. No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so it's this, they had like a patent for it, they're working on this. It's a contact lens that kind of tells you your blood sugars, which is kind of clever, but at the same time, you still have to be the kind of person that, one, you have to have diabetes, and two, okay with a contact in your eyeball, but what if you already wear contacts? So... But
yeah, true. How does it tell you your blood sugar? Is it like jamming a needle in your eye?
That's all my brain goes like. There's a hot needle in my eye. There's a needle in my eye that's reading my blood. But apparently, it can read from the liquid in your eye or whatever what your blood sugars are.
Okay.
I mean, doctors don't normally test your eyeball for that sort of stuff, so I feel like that's going to be a bit off.
This is true. I mean, I think that's also dope for. I mean, if this is true,
yeah,
that's dope to have a test that you can just put in your eye instead of poking yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
like for people who are diabetic, I mean, I'm diabetic, but I'm type 2 diabetes. And so basically I do fine as long as I'm not, if I hold back on a certain amount of sugars and if I'm exercising, I control it pretty well. But for people who have type 1 diabetes, their diabetes, it's kind of sad because a lot of kids get it, so you can't eat candy, and this is like death season for kids with all the candy coming up, right?
Yeah, indeed.
But I would imagine that if you had something like that, that would be pretty helpful because kids aren't really that responsible, and making a kid have to do insulin shots and keeping up with their blood sugar, I feel sorry for type 1 diabetes kids. So,
yep. It's like a whole different lifestyle. You
yeah,
have to change
yeah.
the way that you do things, yeah.
But I'm apprehensive about, I mean, not that I'm afraid of technology, but I'm apprehensive about putting things, like, in my body.
Right, know, like, right. Well, on to that, have you ever heard of a show on Netflix called Black Mirror?
I watched one episode, and it turned my stomach.
Episode did you watch?
The first one with the pig and that dude. It's about like really disturbing stuff, right? Isn't that what it is? Black Mirror?
Well, it's like a mix of it's like a Twilight Zone, but
yeah,
it's like
it's
a new age Twilight Zone. So they had one episode which was really, really cool.
Okay.
Every episode is about technology.
Okay.
And how the advancement of technology changes different things. And you said with the contact lens, so it made me think.
Oh yeah.
They had this one episode where you could put in these you put in your. I'm sorry. It's a thing in your brain, actually.
Oh, okay.
way further. So it attaches to your brain, right? And it literally remembers all. It has all your memories.
Oh, there, wow.
Since you put the implant in, and this guy is just like going crazy because he thinks his wife is cheating on him, right? And she plays some of her memories on the TV. Like, she can port her memories to the TV. And he's, like, watching them going through them because he's just that crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, it is such a good... That is a great watch. If anybody's super into technology, Black Mirror...
Okay.
I think it's Black Mirror.
Okay, I'll Google that episode because, you know, I'd like to watch that particular episode. Yeah. I watched one episode of it. I'm pretty sure it's Black Mirror. And it was pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of them.
Okay, it was the first episode, I think. Anyways, but I'll you know, sometimes I'll watch a show, and if it doesn't grip me right away, or if it's a little bit like, I don't know, I know I sound like a total prude, but if it's a little raunchy for the sake of being raunchy,
right,
I won't get into it. I tried to get into Penny Dreadful.
I never got into that.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I just couldn't. I wanted to because I love that. I love monsters and I love that era, that kind of Edwardian, Victorian sort of era of monsters and vampires and all that kind of crap. That's cool to me. But I didn't care for. I didn't care for the tone. I think sometimes we have these different trends in storytelling where people make things kind of like they're trying to make them edgier than they have to be. Dude, you don't need to make Dracula any more edgy. He kills people and drinks their blood. It kind of
literally bites blood and drinks their blood.
I feel like pretty good enough. The outline of Dracula is about as scary as you need it to be. Just do a good job directing it. Tell the character where you get to know the character, so you're afraid. Because that's my thing. I just don't like. I get tired of gimmicks. If you tell a good story, people are going to remember it. But maybe it's a thing where. And I think Netflix is trying to do this. They're trying to be their own HBO. You know, they're trying to like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's. Dude, let me check. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to jump in there because I know you have you might have a strong thing about this, but I think Netflix is great. Yeah. Netflix is absolutely awesome.
I agree.
I think some of their shows are great. Some of their programs are awesome. Ones that you can't find anywhere else. And you don't have to go on TV to watch these things. You can just go on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I think that's where they fall off at times. Mm. Because I know I can go on HBO and I have to watch something at a certain time, right? And it's going to keep me coming back, right? As to where I can sit on Netflix and I can binge it right there and kill the whole thing today. I can kill, not today, but I can kill it maybe in a day, maybe 2 days. As to where HBO will keep you coming back. And I think sometimes that's where they fall off. But Netflix kills it with some of their content. Some of their content is just so good.
Yeah.
And I think also it's also good for like if you're at like a daycare or something like that and they like watching kids shows, I can't turn on the TV. I have to turn on an internet service. So I'm just going to watch Netflix or something like that.
So. Well, that's true. And you know, the thing about television and the way that television has evolved, I mean, everyone's getting to the game now. I read an article about Netflix is going to be spending $7 billion next year. Apple's going to be spending over $1 billion on programming. I mean, everybody's throwing their hat into this ring. And you will probably see the death of regular TV, I think, very soon. They've also been sort of investing in making their own apps, getting their own sort of programs out there in front of people. I think that's a smart idea. I always wanted this. I mean, I mentioned this 15 years ago easily, that all I wanted was a la carte cable. Like, I didn't want to pay for all this ESPN 12 and that whatever generic home shopping network stuff. I wanted to pick the channels I want, and that's it. You know, like, let me pay for the ones I want. Because that's kind of like the thing. Like, when you come to your media, you only have so much time to do anything. And so they make these package deals and they throw them all on there. And I was Googling in this because I was looking up Mystery Science Theater, right? So you've seen Mystery Science Theater, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a funny show, but I was like, how did that show start? And the way the show started was back in the day, they would bundle all these movies together. So you couldn't just buy one movie, you bought a whole slew of crappy movies. And so you maybe wanted like two or three, but there's like 100 in there. And so because of that, that's where that fodder, that leftover fodder from the TV stations, they had these shows that nobody wanted to watch. And so Mystery Science Theater is like, great, we can take this material and we can riff on it. And so there is sometimes, you know, that's the nature of the thing. They're trying to sell more stuff. I have a buddy of mine who actually has some stuff on Netflix, and a really talented director is actually Eli Sasich. And I was wondering how he got his stuff on there. I still need to actually ask him how he got his stuff on there, because most of the time I've heard people, when they get their content produced and put on Netflix, they have to do like a bundle deal. So these networks and these TV stations, when they get stuff on Netflix or they get stuff on iTunes. I'm sorry, his stuff isn't on Netflix. His stuff's on iTunes. I don't know if other content of his will be there yet. But anyways, I was gonna say, it's like when other people want to get content up in these platforms, they have these sort of like bundle deals where they buy a bunch of stuff. And so if you are a filmmaker, a storyteller, and you want to get on Netflix or iTunes, and it's already been created, your stuff's already been done. This, I'm just saying, it's a different animal now since it's already been made.
Right.
Sometimes they do these weird package deals. And so you have to get in with kind of a distributor. And so because of that, that's why Netflix has a ton of content. And some of it's kind of like meh. Like, remember when Netflix first started out? It was like, I'd run out of stuff to watch in like a day. You know,
and then they started pulling off their good movies. And I think that's kind of when Netflix really started putting their own content on. I can't remember the first Netflix show, but I think what they were playing on a lot of was nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Like they brought back a lot of things that people wanted that regular cable was not putting back on. Which I thought was pretty dope. But
yeah, I agree with you. I mean, what I understand now is Netflix and a lot of these other places are really interested in original content.
Yeah,
because they have to pay a license to share The Office. So eventually, people are going to want to go, well, I mean, you're going to want to renew that license because whatever. A lot of those places keep their ratings under lock and key. Like, no one gets to know that information, which is, it's frustrating for other people who are trying to get in the biz because then you don't really know where your projects fall in line, so you can't really cater your pitch. It's just, Netflix has become the new gatekeeper, and it has its pluses and minuses. But because of that, they finally realized, hey man, we should put up some quality content. And so, but when I was criticizing how Netflix kind of trying to be the new HBO, I meant in that some of the stuff on HBO I get is like, it's cool, but some of the stuff on Netflix is kind of deliberately edgy, and I don't care for that. I'm not against edgy content. I just think that if it doesn't need to be edgy,
then why make it edgy?
It edgy? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I may not.
And this is to defend you too. It's like you're not saying like, because you can have edgy, but then there's over the top when it's kind of just too much. Like they have a show called Sense8 that Netflix made, which is a good show. Mm-hmm. It's a great show, but the first couple scenes, I mean, it's moving between different people and different people's perspectives. But there's a few scenes in the show where you're gonna be like, whoa, what the heck am I watching?
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the shows, like even another show, House of Cards, great show produced by Netflix. It's good.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of scenes in there where you're like, okay, that's a dude, that's a girl, this dude, right? But now there's a guy walking in the room and he's going to be with the guy, the girl, and the dude. But wait. The dude doesn't like it just gets too much and too crazy.
Yeah, I think this is going to make me sound like a prude, but this is also my personal conviction and taste. Like when people have love scenes or romantic scenes, that doesn't bother me. When they have the part where, even when there's a part where they're being intimate, that doesn't necessarily bother me. But there is a difference between what would be perceived as a romantic, like a lover scene versus a lewd sex scene.
Straight up orgy scene.
Yeah. Like, and that's where I'm like, I'm not here to watch pornography. I'm here to watch entertainment. So, and for those people who are like, you know, hey, it's just show. Why don't you shut up? I'm like, hey, I have every right to be like, you know what? I would personally not care to see all that. I don't mind if they want to just use some sound design and the drapes are moving in the background. It's fine. But I don't want to see that gyration. I want to watch the story. I want to see about vampires killing people. I don't want to see them doing this. So it's like,
please stop. Oh my God. Okay,
violence, yes. Sex,
it's one of those things where it's like, it almost takes it away. It does. Because you have this storyline that's great. And even if you want to put it this way, it's almost in a realm of an unreal, it's not real, you know what I mean? It almost makes the story seem less valuable. It gives the story less tangibility almost. Yeah. It's bad.
Because now it's pure fantasy and it's just something like, and that's my critique about HBO. A friend of mine, he's a comedian, and he shared this really funny video on his Twitter feed. Like it's it describes all these actors. They're talking to their loved ones, and they're describing all these really lewd things that they're doing, and everyone thinks that their loved one's involved in pornography. And at the end, it says, "But no, but it's for the show on HBO." It's like, it's not porn. It's HBO.
It's HBO, right? And it's HBO at midnight. So
yeah, it's
one of those things where it's just like, what would the story be like if you hadn't added those parts?
Yeah, and
how much would you really lose if that stuff wasn't in there? You
know? Well, and first off, like, even though cinema and filmmaking and stuff like that is a visual art form, you don't need to show everything. Like, I'll tell you this much. Whenever you watch a movie, you don't need to describe that the person got out of bed and brushed their teeth and did all this. Like, that doesn't matter. Just get to the diner where they're having a real conversation. Right. So that we don't need to see everything that that person does. And that's what I'm getting at is that, first off, write stories so that those people watching it can read the story and let it unfold. And they can make some of their own conclusions because they're not idiots.
Exactly. And I think that's almost, I can't remember what I was watching, but there was a director that actually said that. He was saying, when you're making movies, or I think it's different for shows, but when you're making movies, you don't want to tell as much. So if I was to walk in a room and somebody was to go sit down and watch TV, so you're going to want to cut those scenes. So you're actually saying, person opens door, sits down, turns on TV.
Yeah.
That's what it should look like. As opposed to person comes in the room, opens the door, stands there, looks down at the floor, grabs the remote off the floor, walks over to the, you know, it's one of those things that drags out the
moment. Yeah.
Now you don't have, and one scene before, back in the day, you used to have, okay, girl stands, waits for guy at the door. Girl comes over, kisses guy, and then pans to the window outside. Now you have girl waits for guy, takes off shirt, drops everything, jumps on, and then you just proceed to see butt crack on screen for 50.
I agree. I know that a lot of people will probably think that you and I are probably too prudish about it, but it's storytelling, right? What I'm getting at is that Kevin and I might be perceived as we're being prudish, but the truth is, I think there's more tasteful ways of telling stories than being lewd. And the thing is, it's just my sense of taste, man. I don't really think that you need to show actors doing degrading things on camera. I don't think they're actors, man. Don't force them to do that. They're not prostitutes, and even if they, I still don't think people should be forced to do anything like that.
For sure.
Anyways, I know that sounds a little preachy, but I'm just gonna say it.
No, dude. Even to touch on that, if you ever seen the show Spartacus, which I think was a great show, I think the show was great, but there were a lot of scenes in that show where it was just like, yo, this dude's with this girl. All right, cool. The next episode, it's a whole dude with the same girl, a whole different dude with the same girl. And then it's like another scene with like a whole bunch of people just going at it. And it's one of those things where it takes away from, like, it's like this manly beast story where it's like these dudes being Spartans fighting. Yeah. Then you have craziness.
I always find the hilarity to me is when people try to justify why there's that sort of stuff, the content in their movies. Like, hey, you know, that's the way it was. It was wild, man. It's Caligula. It was this wild erotic thing. I'm like, the truth is, they say all that, but they don't want to be true to the actual gladiator story, which nobody would want to watch. Most gladiators fought naked.
Oh, nah, bro, we can't do that.
Yeah, can't do that.
Can't show that.
Because you know what? I mean, like, as much as people go, yeah, gladiators, be realistic. Dude, I don't want to see some dude wrestling naked with another
flinging everywhere.
Nah.
Knee clapping. Nah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, wrestling down a tiger, you know, naked. It's like... I mean, that always threw me when I was in college. We had all these art history classes, and, you know, show this, like, buff, beefy gladiator, like, helmet, sword, shield, no pants on. It's like, he's all out.
I have all the equipment I need.
No, you're not. You're missing something there, buddy. Just a little bit of something. It's like,
I think I'm fine. I can breathe.
I'm seeing some exposed areas.
Like the wind on my flaps.
it's just too close. It's just
it's like, dude, no, I don't think we can have a sword fight right now.
No, give me, bro. A second. No.
Oh wait, no, that can be multiple things. All right, we're done.
Yeah, let's rescue this conversation. So anyways, but you're right. There's a lot of great content on Netflix. I do love how you can nerd and stay up late and watch Ben stuff. And some of the stuff that I like to binge on, which is just like the trash that I like to watch, I love those crappy Godzilla movies.
Oh, man, dude. Let me tell you, dude. There was Godzilla versus King Kong.
Oh, yeah. School.
I love that freaking movie. Oh,
so
movie,
good.
Man. My grandmother used to have it on VHS. And nice. I remember seeing it. I was like, what? There's a King Kong versus Godzilla? Yes, yes. Watched it. Probably fell asleep on it a little bit. But I remember the fight. It was awesome.
Do you remember the game?
Absolutely.
Do you remember the game Rampage?
Yes, I remember Rampage. The game Rampage. That was my...
Yeah.
Bro, I loved it. That was an awesome freaking game.
I wonder if they ever rebooted it. But yeah, it was a fun game. And it was like, that was sort of a Godzilla... Wait. What were the three characters? There was a Godzilla.
It was one giant lizard dude. So it was a rat Kong. Dude.
King Kong, like a King Kong, and there was one other.
There
was
a monkey dude.
There was a monkey. There was a lizard, and then there was it a wolf?
A rat.
A wolf? Yeah, a rat? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was a rat wolf or something. I think it was a wolf. I think you're right. It was a wolf.
It's a fun game, man. I don't know. Yeah. I love giant monster movies because, I mean, they're not real. But there is just something about the absurdity of getting to play with your toys like that that you that just sounds fun.
Dude,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
It's like I've always wanted to shoot one, but I've never been serious about it. But I've always thought it'd be so cool. That and like I love trains. Oddly, I have no train sets or anything like that. But growing up, my my grandfather had this. He took an old pool table. Mm-hmm. And actually, he took two pool tables and he connected them together, and he built this really kicking like Grand Central sort of train station. He had a little cave, a little tunnel that the train would go in. He had the town and all stuff like that. Jeez. It was so cool. And I remember as a kid sitting there playing with my G.I. Joes, so they looked kind of like giants, you know, like, rawr, like crashing through. Yeah. Oh.
That is awesome.
I love those monster movies, and I know that they're not good. I mean, I know they're not good, but they're good to me, right?
I think that in the times, man, there was something else. I mean, I think there was nothing else like that. There was no such thing as like. I mean, did have some. I think they did have some others, but Godzilla, come on,
But here's the thing. Now it's probably because we are our age, because we weren't around when they first showed up.
Right.
Were people ever really scared watching those movies?
No. See, that's the thing. It was more of just like, I guess, the anticipation and more of like the thriller sense of just like,
yeah.
Well, there's a giant monster in the city. He's attacking. He's destroying whole buildings. Kind of like freaking like when you watch, I can't say that because I was gonna say the Avengers movie, like and then like destroying the city. You're not really scared of it,
no.
But it's like an action-packed thing.
Yeah, it's entertaining. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is. It is just an action movie. It's not really a scary movie. It's an action movie, and I think that makes sense. Now that I'm thinking about the genre of movie monsters, giant monsters is more action, where movie monsters is horror, right? You want to be they were trying to scare people with Wolfman. Now we'd be like, all right, dude, just that guy looks like he needs a haircut.
And I think it was also a little bit of the fact that it wasn't being done, so it was almost like a thrill, almost.
Yeah, I could see it being a thrill. Yeah, it's
like, oh, he just demolished a whole city.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, a large portion of cinema is about a ride. It's not necessarily about a great story. It's not necessarily about, you know, falling in love with the characters. It's just it's just overall a good experience. And that is, dude, that's what amusement parks are, right? You go to amusement park and it's just for the ride. It's, you know, and the food isn't really that good, but it's just the rides have got to be on.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But I mean, if you could, like, to me, that's where nerding, being up late, manic, stuff like that, you know, just eating junk food and watching monster movies.
That's where it's at, man. Pulling out that huge buttery box of popcorn.
I really dig the kettle corn. Are you a kettle corn fan?
Yes, man. Kettle corn is where it's at.
Salty.
Yes, man. Yeah. Sweet. There's these, I can't remember the brand for the life of me, but there's a certain, there, first off, there's a brand that I'll eat of kettle corn that's really good, right? It's just good. Yeah. But there's some people who make it. It's like they put salt. It's like they put salt on the popcorn, then they put the gooey stuff, and then they put more salt on it, and it just like this.
So there's a couple movie theaters nearby that I like to hit up, and my favorite one is this movie theater that serves kettle corn. And so, you know, like, you know, there, to me, going to the movies, getting popcorn is one thing, but I tell you, a small popcorn and I'm about done, because they put lots of butter on there and you feel kind of gross. But with this kettle corn, I can't control myself when I'm eating kettle corn. Like, I think that somebody would be like, a Bond villain could roll in and say, all right, you have to save your girl, or but she's in this entire room of kettle corn. And then I would just, like, be like, I'd find her, hey, honey, just eat to, like,
spoil. Dude, I'm sorry, you should animate that. That sounds hilarious. I'm sorry, this isn't bad at all. Like,
the kettle corn, save her,
and I would just be... But she's in this giant vat of kettle corn.
Can you save her without eating yourself to explode?
I'll certainly try. Thank you for this, by the way.
Thanks, buddy. That's Hans over here and his evil kettle corn factory. Manufacturing caloric cake.
You know what, dude? That gives me an idea for a show. This mad evil scientist who just... He tries so hard to be evil, and he makes these evil plots, but it's just not evil enough.
It's like, not evil enough, yeah.
It's not evil enough, because, hey, yeah, sure, I have to eat my girl out of this kettle corn, but I like kettle corn.
Yeah, I like kettle corn. It's not so bad.
I'm cool with this.
I would say he could be corny.
Yeah, right? what other situation could he have?
If it's food related, it would be this, like, I mean, or he could have attack koalas.
Or attack koalas and assault sloths. Yes.
Yeah.
Attack koalas.
Koalas are so cute. They get you. Rawr, rawr.
They get you. That's so good, man. That's hilarious. Wait, what else? What else can
you do? Evil ones.
Yeah, you have to eat this giant breakfast that I made. If you don't eat it, you'll die. And it's like, it's like breakfast, a whole bunch of breakfast. It's like, but it's morning, so I really like breakfast. I'm going to eat this.
To finish everything. This sounds more like an evil grandma.
Right? That's like, what I'm feeling.
What would an evil grandma do? Like, she would force you to finish your meal and before you can save the world or some sort of, like, oh, man. Untangle these Christmas lights.
No, that's a freaking no. That right there is a freaking, that's a short.
There you go. Untangle the right, or the whole world will explode. Yeah.
Dude, after a while, I'll never forget that there was a point where I did have a big, huge ball of Christmas lights, and I did have to untangle them. So that's not far from me. But when I untangled them, it was after a while, I got this weird frustration, man. I got so frustrated that I just took the whole ball of Christmas lights and just started shaking them really, really fast.
Yes. I mean,
It's not doing it. It's going to make it worse. But I don't care. I'm going to do it.
Oh, I swear to you, what is with messes, right? It's so easy to make a mess, but it's not so easy to pick up, right? I wish that something in life there was an equivalent. So Katie knits. And do you have pets? Do you have pets?
I do. I have a dog.
Okay, yes. You have a dog. Okay, so we have two cats. Okay. And I do like dogs. We technically can't have dogs here. I think when we get another place, I want to get a dog. When I was a kid, I had dogs. I do love dogs. I had a dog that decided that almost made me its owner. Like, it just started following. I was on a walk, and it just came up to me, this beautiful, border collie, but looked kind of like an Australian Shepherd, which is one of my favorite dogs because I really like a smart dog. And I like that collie, kind of, you know, sweet dog. Anyways, but I was like, just kind of came up to me, wanted to be my bud, and followed me most of my walk. I usually walk like a mile and a half just to, you know, just for a little exercise. But
that's cool.
But our cats. So cats love to play with yarn. That's right. So Katie left her yarn out one time. And she just went to the kitchen, grabbed a glass of water, and went to sit back down. Mm-hmm. And we have this one cat, his name's Gargoyle, and he's elusive. Like, you don't see him. Maybe you'll see him at 3 a.m., and it sounds like a chew toy when he's meowing, like, meow, meow. And so you see him, and he's this all-black cat. And so he had knocked Katie's giant ball of yarn, and then he had somehow wrapped it around every single leg of the table, of all the chairs, and underneath the couch at least twice. I mean, she just got up, went, grabbed some of the drink from the kitchen, came back down, and then what? And it's just like, there's a huge... It took us like 15 minutes to pick up this mess. Like, how did you do this?
Gargoyle has flat... He's in tune with the Speed Force, man. Yeah.
And so, but that's the thing. I wonder about messes, right? So you got this Tango Ball of Christmas lights. You know you made this in a minute easy. And you're just like fighting with this stupid...
Like, yo, I'm a human being. Like, what is this thing? It's defying my logic.
Yes, yes. So that would, we put that on our evil, not so evil villain. He would make you the Christmas lights, eat a giant breakfast burrito, clean your plate, a room full of kettle corn to kill you.
evil koalas and assault sloths.
Attack koalas. Cuddle mode.
Oh my god, dude.
Makes you eat a turkey dinner?
Yeah. He needs a sidekick, though. He needs a sidekick. What is a sidekick going
to
be?
Oh, man. I mean, it can't... Well, if it's a voice of reason that's never paid attention to, right? Because a supervillain like this... Because you find that's the cliche, right? You have the good guy has a real, like, conscience that tells him, don't do that. And he goes, good thinking. Where a villain has, like, don't do that. And they're like, nah.
But see, here's the thing. Someone has to be backwards because he does things that people want.
Yeah. Well, he thinks it's bad, right?
So he thinks it's bad.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I guess the realm. Yeah. The realm.
His psychic would have to be probably like truly evil. His psychic would have to be like truly evil. Like, we should all like attack their grandparents or something like that. Like, truly evil. And he never listens to him. He does something completely extra.
Yes, and so with that in mind, have you ever watched the show Studio C? You ever seen the show Studio C?
No, I've never seen that show.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's a pretty clean comedy, but it's like brilliant. And these quirky Mormon kids, they make it. It's all, you can go online, YouTube and stuff like that, or you can download their little app and stuff like that. Anyways, their one skit, my favorite skit, is called The Shoulder Angel. And so it's a physical comedy thing. So a guy's standing there, he's thinking like, oh, I just found someone dropped a dollar. And he's thinking whether or not he should take it or give the dollar back. And all of a sudden, his shoulder angel pulls up, and it's just a full-grown man, climbs up on his shoulders, sits on his shoulders, and says, I don't really think you should do that. And starts giving him advice. And so he's walking, I mean, like, this is full, these actors are holding this other person on top of their shoulders, like, oh, okay, and they give back the money, or they're helping them make decisions. And one time, they have, the angel has a hypothetical question. Somebody asked about their haircut, and so the angel's already on their shoulders saying, should you tell them a lie? Because it looks awful, but that might hurt their feelings. So the shoulder angel has the shoulder angel come up. So here you have it's a three-tier people. One person, the bottom, another person, and another person gets on top of them. It's like, I don't know how they did this. It was so...
I gotta check this out.
Yeah. Shoulder angel. Yeah, and they also have one where the devil, where someone loves the devil, and the devil is this guy in this big fat suit, and he's like climbs up on top. It's funny. Oh, it's funny.
Yo, I gotta check this out. Gotta see this. Yeah.
Well, a couple more that are pretty funny is that one time they have this one where these guys break into a bank. And there's no security alarms. There's nothing really like that you would expect at a bank that was going to hold the place back, except for this guy that looks like Dr. Freud, like a psychologist. And he's their security. He's going to ask them about their childhood.
No.
It's hilarious. And so that's their security procedure. And, you know, it's, of course, psychological warfare breaks these thieves down. It's a good show.
Dude, I gotta check it out.
Yeah. Anyways, so that said, just to bring things back around, what you been nerding on, man? What you been doing?
Oh, man, dude. I am freaking... Right now, I'm deep in this Destiny 2. Super deep in this Destiny 2. Been working on my music. Just more of in my super nerd relaxing mode. Just kind of focusing on my hobbies and just enjoying myself, man. That's pretty much the deal right now.
Nice.
I haven't made an Instagram video in mad long. I gotta jump on that.
I mean, well, if you have it, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't want to force it. Yeah. I gotta find the magic first and then dispense it. But yeah, man. That's pretty much where I am right now.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. It's dope, man. Destiny's got me freaking not sleeping, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I've got my music, and I love to do my music. I always do it. I've been listening to a lot of, like, different styles of music now and trying to replicate them Yeah, because I'm trying to build. You know, I'm not trying to do the same thing I've been doing.
Yeah.
And although you can do the same thing over and over again to perfect it, I want to try to expand. Mm-hmm. I want to try different beats and different progressions and different sounds and symphonies and different stuff. So I'm just trying everything I can. I'm just learning new stuff, you know?
That's cool. That's you still rocking with Fruity Loops on that? Is that how you're still?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
So I've been doing a little more musical stuff. I've been definitely back in playing music again as far as writing some stuff. I'm probably going to play some coffee shops maybe next month or so. I got the material. At least I got even in covers. So I'm just like, and I have some older songs, but I kind of want to write new stuff since it's been a long time since I've played a show. Because you know what it is, when you get some older tracks you wrote, you're like, you know, that's fun to listen to them, but you kind of need something that speaks to you now. And so writing is different than performing. So, because performing is a whole other art in itself.
Right.
But I like that. I really like performing in front of people. It's just something I don't often get an opportunity to do that. So that's where I'm on the music vein, where I'm nerding out. But where I'm also nerding out is I've been reading Blade Runner. The original title is by Philip K. Dick. It's called "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?"
And so, I think I've heard of this. I've never gotten into it.
So I love Blade Runner. It's one of my all time favorite films. It's a brilliant, beautiful film that just speaks so much to what cinema is good. And if you're a big film nerd, you know, you see things in Blade Runner that probably never before really showed up. But I had never read the book, to be completely honest. I had never read the book for a film that I've always loved so much. And that's like, I've seen the commentaries, I've read a lot of different directors' view about it. But sometimes when you get to the source material, it's like a well, you know, it's just so rich. And you just see stuff. So I don't want to give away the book because I think that people should go out and read it. But it's a very easy read, and I'm almost done. But one of the things that I realized from the Blade Runner book, or the Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, there is, in my opinion, enough material for them to make this new film. And so a lot of people, there's always critiques, right? When because they're making the new Blade Runner film that's supposed to come out soon. I thought
was totally a Han Solo movie when they showed the trailer. He was just standing there, and I'm like, is this going to be a Han Solo movie? And then it's like Blade Runner. Okay.
Oh man, that would be awesome. I mean, I heard that they have been working on a Han Solo film. So
I heard that too. Just haven't seen anything as of yet.
But I heard that, what's his name? Is it Glover? What's his name? He's the guy who plays.
You're talking about
Childish Gambino. Yeah, he's very
Danny Glover? Is that his name? Danny Glover? No, his name's not Danny Glover.
Danny Glover is the old dude from Lethal Weapon, right? So, I think it's Donald Glover. I should know better than that. But anyways, I heard he's supposed to play Lando. And I forgot the other guy who's supposed to play the young Han. But anyways, that's supposed to be pretty cool. The thing is, with when it comes to like the Star Wars stuff, there's so much material out there that you and I could probably just never find the end of that. Like, where did the source come from? Which one's canon? Which one's going to show up?
Because
in the Star Wars stuff, I mean, and I know this is a whole other podcast in itself. Let's just talk about Star Wars. But in the Star Wars books, eventually what happens is Leia becomes a Jedi. And so, like, eventually Leia becomes a Jedi, and she has to fight her brother. I don't give out spoiler warnings for it because I think most people would know this. But those are books, man. Books are totally different. And they wrote them, like, forever ago. So, who knows? I've read storylines about Obi-Wan having romantic interests back in the day, why he's a Jedi when he was in love, and like, oh, that's mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe they'll turn that into the Obi-Wan movie. I don't know, man. but with Blade Runner, there is a definitive source called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? And in this book, there's a lot of the normal kind of stuff. You've seen Blade Runner, right, bro?
No, I haven't, actually.
Oh!
Yes, I know. I haven't.
Oh my gosh, you're the one. Okay, all right. So what you're gonna do? You're gonna go get Blade Runner, and you're going to get you're gonna get the version. So look for the version without the voiceover. So just the theatrical cut. That's the one I recommend. So the difference between the different. There's two different main cuts. Some of them have a few more violence in them. Honestly, to me, the real difference is one has a voiceover and one does not. There, it's basically sci-fi noir, so kind of like future detective. So it's dark. It's this guy who has to hunt down these androids. That's his job. The Blade Runner, that means he retires, is what he calls it. Retires robots. So that's all you need to know going into Blade Runner, okay?
Let's do it.
And it's great. But, since I recommend try to get the one without the voiceover. So if you ask anyone, if you're confused, like, does this one with or without the voiceover? Because the voiceover, in my opinion, spoon feeds the narrative to you. And you're too bright for that. You deserve the best. obviously, I have very strong opinions about this. But anyway, there's enough material in my mind's eye that they could riff on and they could do this other movie right. That's why I'm kind of hopeful for it. And in my opinion, you got enough time to watch the original so that when you go
and
you
go
watch
and check the other.
Yeah. Because at least you get the idea, because you do need to know who Deckard is, the main character, and you get to know where he kind of leaves off at the end of Blade Runner so that way you kind of get what's happening in this next one. Because they really lean into the whole, at least from the trailers, they really lean into the creation of these androids, which to me is awesome. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
dope. And I'm super into sci-fi movies as well. Like, I don't know if you ever remember there was this older sci-fi movie. And this is what really broke me into sci-fi movies.
Okay.
The movie AI.
Oh, you know, yeah, yeah. I remember AI. Yeah.
Dude, that movie, oh my God, that movie, like, blew my mind. I thought it was so cool. He was a little kid. He just wanted to be a part of the family. It was just...
It's heartbreaking. It's a heartbreaking story. Yeah.
It's very heartbreaking, but I think that it was very well told, and they told so many different, like, little stories with different androids, and it was just really well done. I loved it, man.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I think that when AI came out, I always love how Hollywood does this. They kind of do, like, they hear someone else has an idea for a robot, so they put out another idea for a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
AI came out the same time as movie Bicentennial Man.
Did it?
Yes.
Bicentennial Man, isn't that the one, that's the one with...
Robin Williams.
Yes. Yeah, that movie was long, dude.
Yeah.
That was a long movie. I didn't watch the whole thing, I don't think.
So, like, in the movie, eventually he... Well, I don't want to give it away, but I remember...
I remember it now. I remember the whole movie. Yes, yeah, I did see the whole thing.
It was interesting. I have to say it's interesting. I could easily watch the film again. I don't say I love it, but that's because it's that... You know what it is? It's that button in my brain that says this is interesting to you. Like, sci-fi in all its genres is always it's a catch-all. Now, I've watched a lot of bad sci-fi, right? We talk about the monster movies. They're like, they're not really, it's not high art. It's just popcorn. Okay? It's just popcorn. Yes, it's just popcorn.
Entertainment. Just sit down and watch.
Yeah. But in Bicentennial Man, I think that Bicentennial Man would have served itself better as a short story.
Right.
Because the things that they kind of talk about. But nonetheless, it came out. AI is a great film. I do remember, it's been a few years since I've watched the film. I do remember just the sadness. Like, the amount, it's like, it's going to make you sad.
Because
why would you make a robot kid that always thinks that needs somebody, right? It's like making a dog. And while I do love dogs, dogs are needy, man. So, like,
yes, this is very true. I think that's another thing too. He was just, and I don't know, dude. It's as much as it seems bad. It's almost telling the story like all humans as well as this particular AI needed something, but all humans always also seek that need for something. You know what I mean? And you can almost connect with them as sad as it is. In certain parts, and the way they're treating all the androids and different stuff like that, you can almost connect with them. Like, dang, bro, I got you, yo. Just come through the screen. I'll take you right now.
And here's the thing, right? There's always this issue. Like, I mean, you watch Star Trek, right?
Yes.
Right, which is your favorite series? Just want to ask.
I'm going to say the O-Ridge, bro. O-Ridge. Yeah. So the reason why I say that is because when I was I wasn't into Star Trek at all. Like, I'm not a major Star Trek person. Like, I've never been majorly into it. But what would happen was I would take breaks at lunch, and every time I took break at lunch, Star Trek would be playing in the break room. So I'd be sitting there watching it, and I'm like, what is going on here? What's going on? And eventually, I kind of started to understand, but... Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like I'm realizing we've been talking for a while, so I will start winding the podcast down. But I do want to mention a couple things because I think we should come back. We should talk about Star Wars and Star Trek.
Yeah.
We should have talk about what we love about them. And but I wanted to mention about how, you know, you watch certain shows that sort of hook you. And I remember I just graduated from high school and I was working mad hours. And one of the few like little rituals I'd do before I'd not off, go to bed. I would have a bag full of kettle corn, and I'd watch SpongeBob. Kettle corn.
Yo, SpongeBob is where it's at, man. Oh, you can't go wrong with
so
SpongeBob.
Good. But I mean, it was like adult time happy memory. Like, it was like as a kid, you have things that you kind of like. They just, you love them because you're younger. But I mean, I was 18 watching SpongeBob eating. It's like it gave me that real sense of like, I can finally just chill out, let my brain go just flatline and just watch a cartoon and eat some sugar and salt. And so, like, nom nom. And we all need that, right? So not everything in our media has to be like this rich, delicate, like, you know, sort of high art thing, because that's too much. I mean, we're gonna think too much about our mortality, and I don't want to all the time.
This is very true. This is very true. And like I said before, remember when I said watch Black Mirror?
Yeah.
There's a one called Mom that I want you to watch. I think it's called Mom, but that speaks to mortality, just like you're speaking right now about you don't want your show being too much.
Yeah.
Watch that episode. All right, you're probably going to be mad at me for telling you to watch it, but watch that one. It's really good.
Okay. You're going to like it. Okay. Well, if I'm going to be upset, I'll make Katie watch it with me. That would be cheese.
No, she was going to love it. I'm telling you.
I'm like, oh, great. but the thing is, I think that we are at this, I call it the recommendation era. Like the rec era. It's like the only time I can really pay attention to something is if I'm being recommended it.
And, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just too much for me to pay attention to everything. Like, it's too much, bro. Like, I, if you live the life where you have to see everything, hear everything, I'm like, dude, that is impossible. But when your friends, they tell you something they like, you go to the movies, like, and you start seeing their taste, because that's a big thing for me. Like, if I can't recommend a movie for somebody, I feel like I don't know them well enough. Like, does that make sense? Because I should know.
Yes, because you gotta, I should be able to gauge
their interest.
What you're interested in.
And be that comedy, sci-fi, western, whatever, the whole shebang. I should be able to. I feel like that's an earmark of, hey man, I know you. Like, I think you would like this. And understanding that we all have different tastes and different moods. Because I have friends of mine where we get along as far as taste-wise, I would say probably 90%, 95%. And I think anything over 60 is a success, to be honest.
There you go.
Because that's a lot of TV for me. Like, hey, if we can sit and watch 60% of our shows, that's a lot of shows.
that's a lot of time spent, man. Yeah. You done made me sit here and watch this whole entire show. I don't even like it, man.
you always get to that. Like, okay, an example of that, and this is another thing in itself. But did you guys ever read the book? By Komari, it's The Japanese Art of Tidying Up.
No.
Okay, it's a book that will. It's a weird book because it's about this quirky, adorable Japanese girl that tells you how to organize your house. Like, The Japanese Art of Tidying Up. And it is... Yeah, it's really cute, but she tells you how to, like, go through your stuff properly in a way that you understand why you have too much junk. It's smart because, like, she does this thing, like, does this bring me joy? And I think Simpsons try to do a joke about it, but Simpsons have been kind of fighting for comedy because they're not edgy anymore, right? They're not
really... No, they're not, dude. They're not. I've been trying to tell my friends that. I'm like, yo, Simpsons isn't the same as it used to be.
No.
It's not the same.
You know what would make Simpsons good is if they killed the show, waited 3 to 5 years... Got fresh, fresh everything. Like just start with a whole new redesign, and then from there everyone would miss it. So if you launch Simpsons, it's just like the whole redesign. People might hate that one, so it might become like, we want Pepsi Classic, you know. Like, but that would reinvigorate the life of the show. Is if to cancel it, or they could just cancel it. it's been on too long.
It's basically there. Like,
it's a
didn't SpongeBob get canceled already?
Huh?
Didn't SpongeBob just get canceled?
It may have. I know it was like wildly successful. Like,
yeah,
it was like it's Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network? Which one is he on?
SpongeBob is Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon. I always get them confused. I shouldn't because I'm an animator, but you know.
No, it's just like I'm saying, because Simpsons has been on for years, like
28 years or more. Yeah.
And a lot of these newer shows are getting canceled way before Simpsons, man.
I think that Simpsons is a safe bet. I think that's what it is. It's safe. It's comfortable. People are going to watch it because it's something on. It's kind of like when that whole reality TV craze where people were just going to watch TV regardless if it was good. And because a lot of reality TV kind of sucks. But some of it's great, man. Yeah. Some of it's great. Like, Katie got me hooked. She got me hooked on American Ninja Warrior.
And yeah, that's a good one, though. Yeah, that's a good one, though.
I know. It's a good show. But I'm saying, like, some reality TV is awful. Some of it's fantastic. Some of it's like, this is... I'm like, you're watching this show, and it's a story about someone sort of, like, overcoming cancer, and now they're on American Ninja Warrior, and you're like, I'm, like, about to cry. And then, like, and now I'm like, come on, buddy, jump over that stupid floaty thing and, you know, like, do it. And it's just like, oh, it's like, it's not the guy is no longer competing in a weird relay. He's fighting for his life. He's fighting for hope. Yes. And it's like, oh, that's good editing.
that's my show, man. I love that freaking
such
show.
A good show. How long do you think you would last on American Ninja Warrior?
I wouldn't. I'd probably get on the first step and take the first step off and then friggin' just fall.
I'm pretty sure I would eat it in the first step.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know how people friggin' do that.
There's so much in the things where I'm like, the upper body strength, don't got it. Nope. The lower body strength, maybe.
I got legs.
but it's American Ninja Warrior is somebody turned a Mario Brothers game into real life. It's like,
dude, do you remember on Spike TV they used to have like a Japanese version?
Yes, Most Extreme Challenge.
That's what it was called. Yes. Dude, I was trying to find the name for years. Oh, okay,
so those commentators were so good. Yeah,
so good, so good. So, I mean, obviously, some of the introductions were kind of ridiculous. Like, a lot of it was kind of crazy, but I loved that show.
It's a great show. I mean, those Japanese game shows, and like, we're talking about just what people eat, like, you know, what they consume, right? And that they're the wild creativity that they have. I really do think that some of these people who come up with these shows, they cannot be, they're not sober coming up with these shows.
Nope.
They're on something.
Fear Factor, come on. Fear Factor, you were definitely not sober when you made Fear Factor.
Yeah. It's like those make people like eat bugs and then
cow testicles and then they
Gah.
Oh no, man. That cow testicle won't put me on my back for days, man.
The one reality show that really, like, do you remember, oh gosh. we raveling for forever, but do you remember the Ripley's Believe It or Not, right?
Yes.
And so they had people would do, like, weird performance stuff.
Yep. Like,
the person who puts the sword down the throat always bothered me. But, yeah, but this lady, this is cringe. It's like, she bothered me. she was taking, she could climb a ladder of swords.
And really?
So she's, like, pulling herself up on these sharp metal swords. And then, like, she gets her chin and she goes, I'm like, oh, I turn the TV off. I cannot watch that. Can I watch it?
No, bro, I'm done. I can't now.
Yeah.
But, and then I go to do it and I just get cut and sliced.
There is some TV that, like, the reality realm of TV that kind of makes my skin crawl. The biggest one, and I've mentioned this in the past, other podcasts, but I don't remember when, but Katie likes watching those hoarder shows.
Right? Hoarder shows? Which ones?
Hoarders.
Hoarders. I feel so bad for those people.
Feel bad for the people, yes. But I'm just say this, let's be honest. They're always worried about a fire, right? But would a fire kind of like solve this problem?
You get some of this stuff out. Yo, you know what's so crazy to me is like, you guys let them live like this until you called the TV show.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like,
I know. It's icky, right? It's especially when there was one where this lady was surrounded back to poop. She was surrounded by these like diapers because she would wear an adult diaper. That'd be what she wear it all day. She'd take it off. She'd throw it over the corner, and then she would seatbelt herself, strap herself into her toilet because there was just so much trash everywhere. And that's how she would sleep in her disgusting little hole. And I'm like, this woman is ill. Like in the head.
That's not good.
No, this is. I'm sorry. Some of these shows, man, and they promise to fix their life. Basically, they're going to traumatize a mentally ill person in 48 hours.
And that's what they do when they're selling like their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, don't throw my crap. Don't throw my stuff away.
And these people, man. I mean, they need something deep and spiritual in their life. There is something. There is something missing in them. They were not hugged enough. Okay, these people, you should not be feeling this way about a Dixie cup. You should not be...
For real? Yo, for real. Like,
no, I think they need... I'll be straight up. I know exactly what they need. All they need is a nice, delicious poop steak. And they will be perfectly fine.
There it is.
That will make them come to their senses. And they will be like...
Don't you know flush that cash away.
Like, lady... You get these diapers out of here. Let's make some real money. Puts the device on the table.
Crap and money. Oh gosh. God, oh, horrible. Yeah. It's, you know what? That's anyway, that's a realm of reality TV that we're just like, ooh, the pimple. But to bring it back around, since everybody poos, that's how we're going to end this, this episode.
Here we go.
This is probably the dirtiest episode of Go Forth and Nerd.
Yes.
Kevin made it to the dirtiest episode. anyways, to leave that with everyone, that taste in your mouth. Yep. So Kevin, you wanna leave some social handles where we can find you?
You guys can find me in the bathroom. No. You guys can find me @itzkblue on Instagram. Nice. You can find me on Captain Blue. That's KAP or whatever. Yeah. Captain with a K.
Captain with a K.
Captain Blue on YouTube. And other than that, guys, just go forth and nerd.
Yeah, bro.
Don't let anybody stop you. And when somebody says, yo, bro, I want a delicious hamburger, tell them, nah, man. I want a poop steak. There you go. Bomb drop. Hashtag poop steak.
Brown gold. Oh, gosh. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I apologize if we've traumatized you. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being on, buddy. I just love hanging out with you, man. This is always fun. Yeah. And again, yeah, if you want to say it, man, go for the nerd.
Yay, guys. Yo. Guys, keep killing it nonstop. And you know what else? After you come home and you had yourself a delicious cheeseburger, you had yourself some French fries, you say, Mom, I want a poop steak. And after you have that poop, and after your mom's like, son, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Say, Mom, you know what? I heard it from this channel called Go Forth the Nerd. He's talking about poop steak, and that's what I want. So, guys, listen. From your boy, Kevin, continue till this day to go forth and nerd.
Because does it have to be human poo? Does it get to be...
Actually, don't know. Now I gotta go test this out on like dogs or something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, guys, you guys take care. So, okay, before we finish off with the poop steaks, I just have to say this. So, my grandparents, now that it just struck my brain, my grandparents used to have horses. And back in the day, I don't know if they do this now, I'm pretty sure they probably don't, but back in the day, one of the things that they would do with horse poo is they would sell it to farmers for manure and pig feed. So because horse poo is so rich in nutrients, that it was a cheap food source for pigs for years. And pigs eat anything, man. Pigs eat anything.
Oh, no. So now we're like the pigs.
We are the pigs. We're the pigs eating our pig waste. See?
Pickle feast.
Yeah, okay, so I did Google this up. I don't know if it's a hoax or not, but there's a lot of articles from everything from Forbes to Fox, and I don't know, I felt like this should be on The Onion. This should totally be on The Onion, but somebody... Email me. Do the research. Tell me if this is real. I need to know. All
right. Right now.
I need to know. Okay.
Turd burgers.
Turd burgers.
Too many words.
Okay. That's... I'll let that go.